Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Chronicles. This week, we're going to be talking all about Cyclops by Euripides. I kind of feel like it should be called The Cyclops, but Cyclops it is. And the reason that I decided to talk about this, of all of the plays by Euripides this week, is because it very neatly finishes off the trilogy, sort of, you know, informal trilogy we've done these past few weeks, looking at an ancient Greek tragedy, an ancient Greek comedy, and now a satyr play. And it's actually the only surviving satyr play that we have. Now, what is a satyr play? Let's just talk about that before we actually begin to discuss the contents of the play itself. So the satyr play, as I briefly mentioned back speaking with Stelios, was a play that was very much mandatory during the Dionysian Festival in Athens, when all of the playwrights would come and they'd have a trilogy of tragedies, and there would be traditionally a satyr play performed at the end of it as a fourth play, kind of as a palate cleanser, really, after some very, very heavy, tragic and dark themes in all three of those tragedies. The satyr play was supposed to be something more comic, more irreverent, and to basically let the audience go home with a good feeling. No different, really, to how, you know, when we're on the podcast, we just tend to put the funnier, lighthearted segment at the end for you all. However, one of the things that is also probably important to mention as well is that even though it is a lighter sort of play, it actually draws upon a lot of elements of ancient Greek tragedy as well. For example, in the Cyclops that we're going to be talking about today, of course, the Cyclops is Polyphemus, the Cyclops that Odysseus has to outwit during the events of the Odyssey. And so it's a play dedicated to that specific part of Homer. But as you'll see as we go through it, it's done in a more satirical and more jovial style. But the point is that it is still a play set in the heroic past, like tragedy. Unlike comedy, it's not set in, well, contemporary Greek society in the time that Euripides was writing it. So Euripides is someone that we don't know a tremendous amount about his life. He first competed in the Dionysian Theatre back in 455, and he won his first victory in 441 BC. And of the estimated 92 plays that he apparently wrote over the course of his life, we have about 19 of them. And some of them, such as Medea and the Bacchae, amongst the most famous tragedies of all time, for good reason, and we'll definitely get to them further down the line. The other thing to say about Euripides is that he was the last of what are regarded as the three great ancient Greek tragedians, Aeschylus, Sophocles, and then Euripides as well. And Euripides was someone who was a contemporary of Aristophanes, although Euripides was kind of towards the end of his life at that time. But you see Euripides parodied quite a lot in Aristophanes' work. One thing that I neglected to mention back during the Chronicles on Lysistrata was how often Aristophanes mentions, the characters in the play mention Euripides when they're talking about the annoyance of women. And this is something that Euripides was famously not a fan of women generally, although there aren't actually any women in this play that we're going to talk about today, so that's not something that's really going to come up. We'll talk about the story now, and then we'll unpack it all as things continue. On the Sicilian shore, Silenus, father of satyrs, bemoans the plight of he and his sons. Once on a voyage to find Dionysus, rogue winds blew them towards this island, and now they are the slaves of Polyphemus, a gargantuan and gluttonous cyclops. We sought you, master, till a sudden gale caught us near Malia, filled each sail. With furious wind and desperate tempest shock, drove us to this most wild Etrian rock. Here where the sea god's one-eyed children dwell, the cyclops, each in his rocky cell. Man-eating monsters, here I am, a slave to Polyphemus. I must clean his cave. I, who have danced with Bacchus, guard his flocks, and with my sons toil up these beastly rocks. To tend the lambs and ewes, my job's to fill the water casks and scrape, it makes me ill. The filthy floor after his nasty meals, I, great Silenus, just think how it feels. To rake up dung and litter from the floor, to make all clean for one whom I abhor. Ere he comes home tonight and goes to sleep, here in the cave among his silly sheep. His chorus of sons come shepherding those sheep, so that the flock can feed. When a new sight emerges on the coast, a Grecian ship is rowed to shore, and the legendary Odysseus, veteran of Troy, disembarks with his loyal crew.
We need to talk.
Silenus hails Odysseus, and the two get each other's bearings, and the satyr informs the crew of the Cyclops who reigns as a tyrant nearby, and what's more, who would be very happy to eat the newly arrived men. Odysseus then barters food for wine, as Silenus supplies the crew with meats and cheese. The fragrance of wine is divine, and Silenus is incensed with thirst for it. For such a drink, he agrees to bring the food from the Cyclops' cave. I'll risk it, and not care what he can do. Yes, for one cup of wine I'll bring you now, the Cyclopean flux from Etna's brow. Oh, to be really drunk, why then I'd leap from the Lysadian cliff into the deep. I'd shut my eyes and dive. The man is mad. Who won't get drunk when drink is to be had? If I were drunk, God, how I chase the girls. One just forgets all else when dancing whirls. The drink about one's wits, I'd catch them too. And then, well, we know what I would do. There's no one here to kiss, except the wine. And that I'm off to earn, I'll make it mine. I'll rob the Cyclops, make the monster cry, hot tears from out that glaring central eye. He then goes to plunder the cave, swiftly returning with the food, but the Cyclops approaches too. Silenus cowardly darts back towards the cave, but brave Odysseus stands firm to confront the monster. Tensions soon rise when Silenus returns from the cave, beaten and bruised, falsely declaring that he was assaulted by Odysseus and his crew. Silenus accuses Odysseus of thievery. Odysseus accuses Silenus of attempting to betray his master.
Let the gods decide which man to glorify.
And even one of Silenus' his own sons sides with Odysseus. Hold hard, hold hard. He gave the things away, quite freely to these strangers, and I say that if I'm lying, let him go below. One must be fair to strangers, as you know. The Cyclops asks who these new men are, where they have come from, and where they wish to go. Odysseus coyly answers the latter two questions of Troy and Ithaca, but does not provide his name. He is simply nobody. Polyphemus laments the worthlessness of Helen and the rotten business of Troy. But Odysseus counters, do not blame Helen. All that she has done was by God's design, but you, great son, of the earth-shaking Lord, we beg you now, be merciful to us. You must allow that we who visit you are friends indeed. Think and control your truly impious greed. Many a temple on Hellenic soil, reared to your father's honour with hard toil, bears out my claim on the Tenarian strand, sacred, inviolate, and rising grand. Above Malaya, lovely as a dream, on Sunium's heights, the fretted columns gleam, guarded by great Athena and the peace of quiet Gerastus, all the land of Greece. Proves what I say, the land we have kept free from Phrygian conquest and profanity. Hellas, your father, and yourself as well, have common cause with us for you to dwell. Here in the shade of Aetna's fierce jaws, upon the fringe of Hellas and her laws. Then, as a Hellene, hear the suppliant's prayer. Receive us, your great sea guests, with presents fair. With food and clothes and comfort far more fit is such a welcome than the ghoulish spit. To pierce our limbs and glut our appetite, enough of Greeks have known death's awful night. In Priam's land, too many widows weep, the cruel spear harvest rotting heap on heap. Old fathers and grey-headed mothers wail their childless age. Oh, do not swell the tale of slaughtered Greeks, forswear your hellish roast, forswear it, and be rather a good host who welcomes men in kindliness. Forgo this carnal lust, it may well work your woe. But the Cyclops is enslaved to his own greed and rages. Midget, the really wise man's god is gain. All else is more pretense, vaunting and vain. What of each sea-girt pile and sanctuary? My father's temples are no use to me. I scorn the bolt of Zeus you call divine. How do I know this power is more than mine? That's all that counts. And when the rain comes down, I've got my snug dry cave in which I drown. The thunder with loud belches feasting there on some roast game or veal and banish care. With gurgling vats of milk, and when the snow comes from the bitter north, why then I blow the embers to a blaze, throw on a tree, don a warm fur, and what's the snow to me? The earth bears grass, whether it will or not, to feed my flocks and herds. So tell me what I need with sacrifice, which none deserves. My belly is the only god I serve. It's simple sense that man's first care should be to please himself, no other deity is half so pleasing as a well-fed man. As for the fool who forms himself a plan, a code of rules to make him sick and sad, I wish him joy of it and think he's mad. I've got more sense than to deny myself, so to the pot you go, no prayer nor pelf shall save you. Here's true hospitality, a warm place in my belly presently. Come in, the cauldron waits, the water boils, my welcome frees a man from all his toils. Odysseus and his hapless crew are pursued to the cave. It echoes with cries and savagery until Odysseus emerges and lengthily recounts to the satyrs the gruesome details of the horror he just witnessed as his crew were devoured before his eyes, and of how he was saved from such a violent fate by offering Polyphemus his wine and escaping. He then suggests that he and the satyrs work together to best Polyphemus and escape to the ship, that the satyrs must now sail to replace the crew he has lost. Wily Odysseus then informs them of his plan.
You have your sword. I have my tricks.
Polyphemus will wish to visit the other Cyclops on the island, but Odysseus will rely on his greed and convince him to drink alone. Then, when the inebriated creature drunkenly dozes, Odysseus will smite his eye so that they can flee to the shore and out to the sea. The Cyclops then comes from the cave, and Odysseus sets his plan in motion. The mariner and the monster trade in wits until Polyphemus is coerced into drinking Dionysus's wine. Deeper and deeper, his drunkenness sets in until he retreats to the cave, dragging poor, meek Silenus with him. Odysseus then prays to Hephaestus and braves the cave. Moments later, the Cyclops emerges in anguish, blinded and broken. He declares that nobody stabbed him, as that is the name Odysseus gave. But in the certainty of victory, Odysseus boastfully reveals his name. "If it's me you mean, Odysseus, here I am, safe and serene. My father named me on my natal day, Odysseus. You must look for vengeance when you take to making impious meals of men. Ill had I done who shook the Trojan plain and sought not vengeance for my comrade slain. I bid you weep, I have done what you say. Think of us sailing on our homeward way, leaving your land of Sicily behind." There's a frantic chase as they race to the shores and the satyrs sing in celebration of their escape from slavery.
If you enjoyed this piece of premium content from the Lotus Eaters, head to our website where you can find more.
I'm asking you to fight for the Greeks.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.